Mr. Alan Shufflebottom, Real 2. Now, so when you joined, it's 318 Squadron, ATC, based in Sale, yeah. Brooklyn Sale. But it's the Sale part of it.
Yes.
Could you tell us sort of what uniform did you get? I mean, you know, how did they start?
No uniform at all at the start of it, except you had to carry your gas mask with you in a little... little cardboard box on you had no uniform whatsoever, and then after about 3 months the great moment came and the uniforms were issued.
And what was it?
Oh, very, very good uniform. RAF blue with silver buttons and a forage cap with the ATC emblem on it, and you had to provide your own shoes and so on, but the uniform was very nice, very well fitted.
Now, what were the activities you did? I mean, where you go on a drill night, would you? Or how was it organised?
Well, first of all, we had a very good drill sergeant, chap who's ended up as a paratrooper, Chapel Cuneo. Lives in adjacent to Sale Football Club nowadays, and he was an old member of the Air Defence Corps, and he knew all about drilling, so he knocked us into shape very quickly.
Now, how did you take to drill? What did you think of drill?
I loved it.
Absolutely. What did you like about it?
I like the smartness of it, and particularly when I got to initial training in the Air Force. I can tell you about that.
Okay, but you took from it right from the start.
Yes.
You had no problems. You weren't.
I wanted to be a soldier. See, I wanted to be a serviceman.
So you did some drill. What else would you do on a drill night or a night?
Well, I went to. Three times a week went to meetings, and at the weekends, of course.
Now, what would you do at those meetings?
Well, mainly navigation, working on charts and things, signalling.
Now, take me through navigation. How far did you get with navigation with it?
Oh, pretty well advanced with it. We had had a very good instructor, and he gave us very good basic. For those who wanted to learn.
So what kind of thing were you learning? I mean, the business about winds and drift and...
Oh, yes.
All that...
The usual thing about general basic flying, of course. And you had also, but as far as navigation was concerned, how to lay out a course and drift and the effect of wind and everything. All these little basic things that were so essential.
Now, signalling, you said.
Signalling,
you mean wireless?
Morse code. Morse code and Aldus. Using the Aldus lamp. We got up to about 10 words a minute.
Now, how did you take to Morse? Because some people find it difficult, some don't.
Well, I did find it difficult. But I found the Aldus lamp was even worse. Because unfortunately I have no eye convergency, and if I blinked I was missing letters.
And you find it difficult on the sound as well, the buzzer as well?
No, I was okay on that.
You were okay?
I was okay, but it took me a long time to work up to 15 words a minute, and I never achieved that when I was in the Air Training Corps. I could only do up to 10 words a minute in the Air Training Corps.
And did they do any voice procedure as well, you know, for telephony, as they
no,
call it?
No,
so it was
no.
Just Morse on
no,
the
more,
on the buzzer and the Aldus?
Yes, mainly.
Nothing
mainly.
Else on signal?
No.
Anything else you were learning? So it's drill, navigation, Morse?
Oh, and then theory of flight, of course.
How far did you go into theory of flight? That's
pretty deeply. We were just given the basics, but of course, the use of the movable parts on an aircraft and what the effect they had when you were in the air.
So you learned what all the controls did, then?
Oh, yes, indeed.
And the parts of an aircraft.
Yes.
Anything else? Did you learn anything about the engineering side of it? I mean, the engine, fitter side of it.
No, we didn't. Well, I didn't, actually. Yeah, I just basic things like I knew what spark plugs were and things like that, but I didn't go into the technicalities of it.
Did you have any other trips or trips to airfields, Ringway or anywhere else?
Well, we attended two very successful camps.
What, annual camps?
Annual camps at Stanley Park in Blackpool. And the 318 squadron at that time featured very highly with the proficiency.
Now, what would you do at Stanley Park?
Chasing women, then. Actually, they used to have inter squadron competition.
So, all the squadrons? Well, the Northerns, who would be there?
Well, there'd be the Altium squadron. And there was one at Charlton, they turned up. And then you'd get other squadrons from Preston and what have you.
So the northwest?
Northwest, yes.
And what, you in camp, tents?
Under canvas, yes.
And how did they test you? What were the what was the competition like? I mean, how did they do it?
Laying out your kit, learning how to do that properly, learning how to make your beds, how to clean the tent up, making certain it's properly aired during the daytime, and generally keeping yourself in fairly good condition, not being scruffy, and then giving you drill instructions, mainly that, and also talks about geography, different possible targets that you were eventually going to have a go at, used to take us to Blackpool Airport and give you a flight.
Now tell me about that. What did you go up in? Do you remember your first flight?
Yes, in my first flight, I'd had a flight in before the war.
With
Sir Alan Cobbins' Flying Circus.
Now tell me about that. We'll just drop that in. So, because he's well known, Sir Alan Cobbins.
Yes.
What do you remember about that?
Well, it really geed me up about flying, because I was painting, tarmacking my father's garage roof. And his Flying Circus flew over to a field near Bowden Rugby Club. And he circled our house with these little Tiger Moths, and he had a three-engine Avro biplane with him as well. And I was waving like mad, and what was his great. So my prevailed upon my father, and we all trooped along, including the maid, to have a flight in the... we opted. My mother said, well, we're going in the Sampro biplane with three engines because you've got a chance of living. Anyhow, it's a very short field, and took off and had to get down. He came down right over Timpley Cemetery, and my mother nearly had kittens.
Were you in the plane with her?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes. Mother decided we'd all die together. It seemed a good idea at the time, but that was.
And did you enjoy that flight?
I fully enjoyed it.
So that was your first flight. Was Sir Alan Cobham actually piloting it?
He was one of the pilots, yes.
But not your one.
Not our one, no.
Now.
And of course, he had an old Avro 504K. With an own rotary engine, one of my friends went up in that thing.
Now, so what about the flights you had at Blackpool Airport?
Oh well, I only had one.
And what was that?
In a Blackburn Bother, BOTHA, a real death trap, terrible thing. But I didn't know it at the time.
And what do you remember of the flight?
Oh, just a circuit and bump. That was all. Nothing there.
But yeah, again, you enjoyed it.
Enjoyed it, yes.
Now, anything else you did with the air training ATC?
Well, we visited balloon, barrage balloon.
Now tell me about that, because people forget about the barrage balloons. Yeah, there were lots of them, weren't there?
Well, see, you know, quite a few. They used to deputise little groups of us to go to where a barrage balloon would be anchored. We were particularly interested in one that's adjacent to Lancashire County Cricket Ground. And the ground crew, or the balloon crew, always treated us to tea and jam and bread.
Were you just visiting, or would you actually do things?
No, we didn't. We were allowed to go inside the balloon. Oh, when we went down to the balloon manufacturing factory, which was in the Manchester Museum of Science and Industry, and we were allowed to crawl inside a balloon, and I lost out on that because my watch face fell off. I had a plastic cover on my watch, and it fell off when I was inside the balloon. But that was, and also. We had visits to A.V. Rose at Chatterton, and
the factory.
It seemed the Lancasters being assembled.
And what do you think of that?
I thought it was marvellous. Thought that was really great.
Now, what about so that's the air cadets. Now, what about the bombing of Manchester? Because it was badly bombed. What do you remember of that? I mean,
yes,
that's going back.
Yes.
Well, much closer when it started.
Our warehouse was the first industrial building to be bombed in Manchester, on the corner of Oldham Road and Butler Street.
What do you remember of it?
Yes, I do. Very good, because my father and I went down to Manchester to help with the debris, and our basement had been requisitioned as an air shelter, and I had a horrific experience of helping a chap who had his stomach blown in. Out of the wreckage. He was in a hell of a mess. That was a bit of an experience for a 16-year-old kid.
Do you know the date of that when you?
Yes, it was. It was exactly a week before the main Manchester Blitz started. Now the Manchester Blitz was round about Christmas time, and
40 or 41.
40, yes.
So December 1940, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yes.
I mean, what did it mean to the family when the warehouse, family warehouse was it replaced?
Well, it wasn't very badly damaged. Had all the windows blown out, and the top of the lift shelf was blown away, and rather an interesting thing. We had a pot, vase, advertising our firm of William Shufflebottom and Sons Limited Pottery Field, and this was on a shelf in the front windows on the first floor, and when we got there it'd been blown right through to the end of the showroom. And yet it was still intact. The rest of it was just a matter of debris, but we got the whole place fairly ship shape before the main blitz started.
Now tell me about the Manchester. So that's around Christmas, December 40.
Yeah.
What do you remember of the moment? What was it like?
It was terrible. The whole of the centre was all in flames. There was Shute Hill, with and near and Harvey Street. No, not Harvey Street. There's another street nearby where the co-op have got the main building nowadays. A firm called Baxendale's, they were very badly damaged. And in the end of Deansgate, of course. Deansgate Hotel was blown apart. And
did you go around and see all this afterwards?
I only saw it, yes. I went down to have a nosy around to see what was happening. But I didn't say, they didn't let you hang around too much.
And what about raids generally on Manchester? Were there many in the Timperley area?
Yes. Well, there were raids down in Timperley before that, you know.
Tell us about them.
The first casualties in the Altrincham area was an elderly couple who had a small cottage near the Lym roundabout on the slope. And a bomb just demolished it completely. Now, when the main serious bombing was down at the oil tanks, little bridge over the ship Bridgewater Canal, and the Manchester Road near Atlantic Street, and there were two very large oil containers there, big circular ones, and came right over our house, direct hit on the oil tanks, so there was massive flames and oil, smell of oil all over the place, and then. This, of course, is before the main blitz of Manchester, and also we had a stick of bombs down Park Road here, and one of them, my parents' oldest friends, lived four or five houses down here, at the corner of George's Road, George's Crescent, a big semi-detached house, a large one, and the house next to the door was completely demolished as far as the front was concerned, but then my father's friend's house had the windows blown in, but that was a bit horrific, because we were in the shelter, we could hear the bombs coming down one after another.
Were you nervous in the raids? I mean, did it make you nervous as a family or yourself?
Mother was very nervous. I wasn't too worried about it at all. You know, I didn't like it, but I wasn't the coward I am nowadays. In fact, it's rather funny. When I used to do air raid duty at the warehouse when there was
fire watching?
Fire watching.
Tell us about that then.
Whenever there was a raid in the when the warehouse was occupied, I'd be up on the roof looking for incendiaries and things. But
and what equipment? What were you meant to do if you saw some?
soap pump and a bucket. nothing really. A bucket of sand or a bucket and a bucket of water, and the old hand pump.
And did you ever get any while you were on duty?
No. But except for one, a daylight, daylight one. Rather funny, this chap came down the brook, down Oldham Road, and I was on the roof, and the cheek to wave to me as he went past. But it was a Heinkel 11. It just came, shot out of the clouds, came down Oldham Road.
And Any close escapes? Or were we fairly lucky, Jen?
Fairly lucky, yeah. Yes, the it's incident. The bad luck in the family was my cousin, who was preceding me from the in the into the, he went into the army in the early days of the war, and got killed the week it ended. Got killed at Minden. That was a tremendous shock because he and I were very close.
Now, so what would you do for entertainment during the war? I mean, because you're right in 16, 17, 18. You know, you go to the ATC was a big part, but what else would you do? I mean, did you go drinking? You're underage, but did you go to dance halls or anything like that? Cinema or anything?
Dancing, yes. I used to dance a lot.
What were the dance halls like? Was it dance halls you went to? What were they like? Because people just don't know what they're like now.
Oh, they're very, very good. They usually had a band, and there was a Stamford Hall and a Sale Town Hall dances, and I'd had to go to dancing classes, of course, in Altrincham, where I learnt to dance, and I had a hell of a good time in that respect. So I got the ATC and ballroom dancing, which I was reasonably good at.
So, what were the dance? I mean, did they have bars in the dance halls then, or was it a dry thing?
They were mainly soft drinks. Of course, I didn't drink at all.
You didn't drink?
I didn't drink at all. My father was a very strong teetotaler.
So, was it that your father didn't, or did you actually? Or were you alongside him with that? Did you agree with him?
No, I didn't have a chance. I had to sign the pledge when I was 11.
So while you were at home, you didn't drink?
Didn't drink.
You stick to it when you joined the RAF?
I stuck to it until it got tough.
Right. We'll be coming on to that. But at the time, you were teetotal.
Teetotal, yeah.
Now, anything else about before you join up? Anything else you remember about your time in Manchester?
Oh, yes, well,
or just stories?
Well, the only time I ever fell out with my father was when I was 17, and I just turned 17, and I'd made good progress in the Air Training Corps, and had become a corporal, and they sent me down to Manchester University to take the entrance exam to Cranwell, and I passed it. Incidentally, during my work period after leaving school, I'd lost a lot of my mathematical expertise, and the Air Training Corps sent me to night school in Sale, and to get onto the curriculum for mathematics, and within about a fortnight it all come back, and I'd gone from one, say, class six up to class one. So it all came back, and on the strength of that, they passed.
So what, you passed this exam for Cranwell?
Yeah.
And what do you remember the exam? What was it testing you in?
Oh, it was all kinds of things. Mathematics, English and three hours, really.
This is when you were 17?
Yeah, when I was 17, yeah.
So that'd be
41.
And why 41. Did you have a row with your dad about it?
He wouldn't sign the release. He said, the air crew only lasts a month. In my squadron. He said, no, I'm not going to let you go to Europe. You're underage. And I was very, very upset about that, because I'd always wanted to be an RAF officer.
So you didn't go?
Didn't go.
You've left school. What year did you leave school?
I left school in 1941.
And what work were you doing? I presume for the family firm. Can you just tell us what you were doing for them?
Oh, I'm doing absolutely anything. Selling hardware, because my father had founded a very successful hardware section. Lorry driving. I got my driving license when I was 16, and I was using delivering goods to shops, and when petrol was permitted, because a lot of our vehicles were confiscated, of course, were requisitioned.
So you were enjoying that. You did that from 41 to
42.
Okay. Now, how about joining? What's the next? Is joining up the next thing, or being called up? What happened?
none of our family in the male side were called up. We all volunteered.
So how did you volunteer? What was the process?
I went down to Derby Street near Manchester University. And turned up in my HEC uniform, and met another cadet who I'd known from the Charlton Squadron, and we both volunteered together at the same minute. He just said, "We want to become aircrew."
That was what you volunteered to do as aircrew?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what was the response?
Welcome.
did they give you any tests?
No, not until we had some dates here. If you were breathing, that was all.
And what month was this that you?
That would be. Let me think. I was thinking for 17. That would be May.
May 42.
May 42, yes.
And now, that wasn't when you went in, though?
No.
No. So what, you were called up in August, were you?
In August, they sent me to Blackpool for my medicals.
So when were you actually called up, then?
Didn't get in until September.
Right. Okay, well, tell me about the medicals in Blackpool then.
Oh, they're quite strict. Very strict. Checking your hearing, which was mine, was very acute in those days, and eyesight, of course, and.
Were they checking for colour blindness?
Yes, the usual thing. Colour blindness, then the usual thing. Blood pressure, breathing. And another thing was giving you a tube in your mouth, you see. And you then had to hold a tube of mercury up to a certain level for a certain time to see how. I've been practicing this breathing for ages. On one occasion, they gave me a mouthpiece with a broken filter inside, and just put my tongue across it. The doctor was looking at his watch, so, and my mercury was slight level like that. He said, "I think you're going to be all right." But the usual things. Oh, and another thing. Mental reaction. They put you into the mock-up of a cockpit of an aircraft, and then had different coloured lights flashing on and off, and you had to press the buttons and push levers both forward and backwards at a sort of command from the colours that came up.